What I wrote on the board is fight the good fight. I should have put an exclamation behind that, because I think that's something we should put accentuation on, fighting the good fight. We're going to find our text in 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter. I think it's good when we read the Bible to read it in context. And I like getting the thought that the writer had. I like following his thought as he was writing it. It seemed like it has more meaning to me then. Sometimes I understand the scripture a little bit better when I read it in context and what the writer was really trying to get to us. Maybe even the purpose of the whole book that he wrote. Romans, when you understand the purpose and what it brings impact on each verse in the book. I was reading some of this the other day, and what I have here today is a little different than the context. I was reading it in context, but sometimes when you read, there's a phrase stands out. And I'm all for that too. So today, that phrase stood out when I was contemplating this. And so I want to read some of it. Maybe we'll just go ahead and start here with the 12th verse, and we may get some other verses around it after a bit. But Brother Paul was writing this letter to Timothy. Very likely Timothy, according to the text here, was in Ephesus at that time. Young man, a younger minister, perhaps taking the pastoral role in this congregation here at Ephesus. You would think that the pastor congregation may not have to be reminded that he needs to fight the good fight. But you're wrong, if that's what you think. Because I believe all of us need to be reminded to fight the good fight. The reason why is because we have an adversary, the devil, walking about as a roaring lion, sneaky. He will use every tactic that he's used throughout history, and he'll try to invent some new ones for our day to try to get us where we'll capitulate the fight. Or he'll sneak up and make us think for a while that he's almost our friend. He never is. I was told of a story recently, and it made me think of how important it is to identify our battle lines and who our friends and our foes are in this battle. And when we start thinking about that, we don't want to think about people as being my foes, because that's not our foes. The devil and all his influences, all his mindset, everything, the prince of this world, and all that he's trying to accomplish out here, that's our enemy. It's not the people out there. This battle is, a lot of times, it takes place, most of the battle takes place in our mind, because that's where the devil wants to occupy that space that we should preserve for the Lord. Recently, I heard this story related to me, and it made me think about how the devil can take on disguises. A man was in World War II, the latter part of it. He got a piece of shrapnel on his leg and was taken to a field hospital. Hope I'm going to relay this as correct as possible anyway. Best of my memory, he was taken there, and there were a number of other wounded, and they were in kind of a horseshoe shape there in this field hospital, and there was morphine being administered to them, and there was shifts that they weren't always taken care of. And this man was there in his injured condition, and different other ones were perhaps a little bit less, more groggy from their medication. And there came a nurse by that was going down the line and administering something in there to them. And they would go limp, and she would check their pulse, and she kept going down the line. She came to him, and he was alert enough to realize something's not right here. And he looked over there and he looked, and she had underneath her lapel, inside her jacket, was a SS pin. The enemy had gotten behind the lines. And she was killing them one by one. I want to tell you today that the devil would love to get behind our lines. He will put on the clothes that seem to be right. He will put on every garb. He will be a wolf that's put sheep's clothing on. And he'll do everything to try to get us to think that it's okay not to fight anymore. I'm secure, but I want to tell you it's not so. We should be very alert, very aware, very pressing in this fight. Again, we should identify our enemy not as people, but as the devil and everything that he's trying to concoct in our mind. But our brother Paul spoke these words, and I know he spoke more than those, but these words stood out to me recently when I looked at this. He said, 12th verse, fight the good fight of faith. I was thinking about those words in particular. I want to go on after this, but let's tarry just a little bit on fight the good fight. Fight is something that you actively exert yourself on toward. It's not something you passively are engaged in when you're in a fight, especially one of these type of fights, because we're in a fight for our spiritual lives. That's how serious it is. I know that we can get accustomed to getting up in the morning and going about our days as a normal day, and we don't seem to have a lot of urgency sometimes. And I understand that way, that mode that we can almost get into. But today is a day that God help us to be awake and be aware. Because we do have a devil that's going around like a roaring lion, interested in putting on the sneaky clothes, the camouflage, that would camouflage in our mind that he's really not that bad. And he'll try to get in behind the lines in a place that we feel like we're secure. And he'll start administering the poison of this world. And we'll go limp and we'll not be able to fight. Fight the good fight of faith. I'm sorry, I thought I had my phone on silence and it just dinged. Won't do that anymore. But fight the good fight of faith. Fight again when we are in a battle, when we're in a physical battle. There is these elements of awareness, of heightened awareness. When soldiers, they're weary and worn in the battle, they have a time that they try to rest and recoup. But when they are in that place of resting and recouping, there is somebody standing sentry, standing guard, who has an wakefulness. And if they find one of those guards sleeping, that's a martial offense. That's one of those that, not just court-martial, but it's a lot of times executional. They don't survive that. Here's the reason why. Because there's lives at stake. Not just the one standing guard, but all these others who are trying to recoup. And in this battle that we're in today, we're counting on each other. I'm counting on you. And you count on me, I understand that. But I'm counting on you to hold the truth. I'm counting on you to love the Lord with all your heart. I'm counting on you to wake up with a refreshed zeal in the morning and say, Lord Jesus, I want to be like you today. Lord Jesus, put your love within my heart. May it inspire me to a clear and a close and a purposeful walk with you today. I want to be like you. Help me, Lord, to be clothed in real righteousness, in your holiness. Because I have none of my own to put on. But today I ask you for yours. Come near to me today because, Lord, I'm going to go out into an abrasive world. And I'm facing the devil that would like to put ideas in my mind that are unlike you. He's going to put apparitions before my eyes that would draw me aside, that would make me think perhaps it's not that important to be pure and clean in your eyes. The devil would try to bring us to a place that we could excuse all manner of things. He'll put on the camouflage and try to make us think that some of these things aren't that bad. Poison is poison. I know that arsenic is something that is naturally occurring in much of our soils. It's naturally there. I don't think anybody wants to pick up a spoonful of arsenic, do we? And most of the time, I think there's some of the... I'm just kind of new in this area, so I don't know everything here, but I think some of the wells in the area, there's levels of arsenic that we find sometimes in our groundwater. And none of us, when we hear that, we recognize arsenic is bad, so you revolt, you withdraw from that because I don't want to be poisoned. But then I get accustomed maybe just to going ahead and drinking, and this buildup of poison that begins to go through our bodies can cause disease and death. That's the way spiritually it's like. We can get almost accustomed to the wells that this world drinks of. But there's poison in it. It's not good. It'll build up over time. It'll cloud your ability to think straight, to see straight. After a while, we will begin to accept things that God doesn't accept. Folks, I want to tell you, it's safe to take the Sermon on the Mount and read every word and internalize it and say, Lord, that's your word. I want to live like it's safe to walk that way. The world has a different interpretation. And the world will have, the devil will have a different fountain to drink of. And it's got a little bit of self-preservation, excusing myself instead of glorifying the Lord. It's so easy to say, well, Lord, I don't think you really meant it that way. You're not fighting the good fight when you're doing that. I would point our minds right now to Eve and Adam. When they got near to a tree they weren't supposed to be close to. And they began to look, and there were certain amounts of human interest got being developed in their mind, and there got to be a communication with the wrong fountain of communication. The devil was there, and he began to appeal to them, and it seemed to their minds, when we get over in the devil's territory, the clarity of what's right and wrong begins to get clouded, and the lines begin to be blurred. But God would want us not to be in the danger zone today. Adam and Eve, when they were there and they began to listen, and the idea that the devil portrayed to them to look at this, and isn't it a beautiful thing? Isn't it something that is pleasing and appealing? And he said, yea, hath God said. They knew what God had said. Yea, hath God said, don't eat. And she said, yes, that's what the Lord has told us. Not to eat of this. Because in the day ye eat of it, ye shall surely die. They knew what God said. But this day, the beauty of the fruit, the appeal, the sweet communication, and the human appeal that said, but here is what God's doing. He's holding back on you. Don't you see the beauty of this thing? And I want to tell you, if you will just take that bite that he said you shouldn't take, if you would just take that bite, it will actually enhance your abilities, your understanding, your wisdom. It's going to just grow exponentially, and you're going to be like God. Folks, there's none of us going to be like God. There's a humility that we should employ in our lives when we approach the throne of God. There is none of us has the ability to handle the knowledge that God has. And humans don't do very well with the knowledge of good and evil. We've had a horrible time ever since then. We're not like God. We don't have the ability to handle that. And here we are now stuck in this knowledge, in this rebellion, this place where we humans have a tendency to please me instead of God. And that's where we need to fight. That's the line. Fight the good fight. Listen to what I'm saying here. There is an area in our lives, and we'll face that. I don't know always where that line is going to be for you or what moment today you face, but there will be a time comes that you recognize that God is calling me to a place of union with Him, a place of submission, a place of joy in walking with our dear Heavenly Father. And the devil is whispering, but there's another way that's not quite so close. And in that time, God calls us to a place where God wants us to fight the good fight. Yes, amen. The good fight. Fight. Press. Endure. Push against. Go against the things that the devil is trying to impress upon our minds. Don't let the devil have that advantage in us. Folks, it's important. No man lives to himself and no man dies to himself today. I am applying that in this manner. We have effect on each other. If you walk near to the Lord today and you come Wednesday night with a ringing testimony and the Lord's blessed you, the Lord has helped you with your battles throughout the week and you got victories and He gave you a scripture and you come Wednesday night and you share that with me and I may have went through the week with a little bit of a wet wood, maybe not quite as on fires, but when you come Wednesday night and your spark comes up next to me, I say, amen, I know that's true and I'm encouraged and I'm freshly inspired. We have an effect on each other. And if you come Wednesday night and have nothing to say, and this is not accusatory, I'm just making an observation. I think we all recognize if we come Wednesday night and none of us has had any victories in our walk with the Lord throughout the week, and we have no testimonies to share, it's just a pretty dead Wednesday night prayer meeting, isn't it? Maybe at that time it's probably time for us all to maybe go back on our knees and start talking to the Lord a little bit more. But what I'm really saying is that we really have an effect on each other. It affects each other. When you are encouraged, I'm more encouraged. When you're inspired, it does something for me. And vice versa, we bless each other with our lives, or we curse each other with the things we... And I'm not using the word curse in a definitive, harsh way, but we take away the blessing at least when we aren't where we should be. So I'm encouraging us. I am pointing us to this phrase that we find in the scripture that Paul said to Timothy, but he says it to us today. Fight the good fight. Fight the good fight. There's a reason for you and I to lay hold upon eternal life. There's reason for us to grasp the sword and go with courage. There's a reason for us because my life is at stake, but not just mine. It's my brothers and sisters. I'm reminded of the place over in the Old Testament. I'm not going to relay this story probably accurately or very well, but it's there generally in this term. I think there were two men who, and the children of Israel, the armies of Israel, were having to flee before the onslaught of the Philistine army that was coming and overrunning them. And they were fleeing and heading back. And they came to a place where there was a field full of lentils. There was food there. There was something that should have been sustaining. And they stopped there. I don't know what may have went through their mind. It doesn't really say in the scripture. But in my mind, I like to think that they said, this is our food. Don't belong to them. This is our land. I'm not going back any farther. And they grasped the sword. And they stood together. And they delivered that field. And the Lord gave them a great victory. And I want to tell you, there's a purpose yet today for our young men and our young women and all the saints. There's a place for you and I. If the devil sometimes gets us on a place we feel like we're on the run, it's time to stop running, turn around, grasp the sword, and fight the good fight. I'm not giving up any more ground, devil. I want to serve you, Lord. And if I die, I'm dying here. I'm not going back anymore. The good news is that the Lord delivered them. I believe when we come to those places in our life, the Lord won't abandon us at those moments. There's a cause, there's a purpose, there's a reason to fight with all our might. Knowing that all of our might is not quite sufficient, but when I stop and willing to fight, the Lord will make up the difference. Fight the good fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold. Well, fight the good fight of faith. And I didn't want to go by that too quickly. Fight the good fight of faith. One of trust, one of belief in God. I acknowledge and recognize in the world we live in, and I trust it may be turning around. I hope it does. I hope there's more of an awareness of our Lord in this world today. We need to pray for that, and we need to make the world around us aware of our Lord. Not in a mean spirit, but in a godly, gentle firmness, meekness, that we stand there in God's righteousness and we let the world know that there is a God that we reckon with. There is a God that we serve. God helps this generation, but I recognize we're going to have to fight to maintain that ground. Because in the world we live in today, the whole society is trying, it's like a flood being pushed to overwhelm and cause Christians to hang their head and feel like there's not much use anymore. But that's time to stop running. Now is the time for this generation to stand up and tell the devil we're through running. Folks, we have loved ones we want to be saved. I believe that the Lord someday is going to come back and this all is going to be called into judgment. This world will be called into judgment. I believe that's going to happen. And I believe I can't tell you when. I don't propose to tell you anywhere close to when. But I believe that conditions are going to be like it was in the days of Noah when they were going about life thinking, not really thinking much about the Lord. And that's where we kind of are today, isn't it? And I think about, I don't know the mind of God in this completely, but I would consider the idea that when he looks down and sees that men's hearts are only on evil continually, it may be time that the Lord says it's over with. But if he can find 5 righteous in Sodom, if he can find 10 righteous, God help us to stand up in this generation, because we have souls, we have loved ones, we have neighbors, we have people we care about that we're interested in them making heaven too. God help us to stand up in such a way that he sees the righteous souls here. And he says, I think I'm going to give them some more time. We want our loved ones saved, do we not? Fight the good fight of faith. Know God for yourself. I want to tell you, faith is not just a desire, a hopeful desire. But faith is born on a personal knowledge of the one who inspired the faith. It's more than just saying, well, I see something here and I kind of hopefully reach out for it. I don't also believe that faith is born in us just raising up in our own strength and claiming something. No, but it's inspired by the divine influence of God in our heart. There is something there that's stronger than just me trying to claim something. There is something real that comes down from this relationship with us and the Lord that causes us to be able to stand in the day of temptation. And that's what we need. Fight that good fight of faith. Know him. That's what I'm really asking us to do, is to know the author of our faith. Know him with all of our heart. Allow him to inspire something real within us. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Why would Brother Paul tell Brother Timothy, lay hold upon eternal life? You know, we can have the idea that once you're saved, you're assured of heaven and you'll never have any. But I want to tell you, the Bible, I believe, teaches something a little differently than that. Not just little. I think he teaches that we can, that we gain if we endure unto the end. There's a blessing. God's salvation is ours. It's ours to have. But as any free gift that we receive, a free gift can be kept or thrown away. Every free gift can. You can be given a gift at Christmas time and the new wears off, and pretty soon a child will use it up in a hurry and say, I'm done. And he can throw it away. He can throw it away. I believe that we can send our salvation away. God would have us to fight the good fight of faith. Don't be a friend to sin in your life. Don't make excuses for sin in your life. Because we don't have to. Because the captain of our salvation is there to help and give grace and help us to be an overcomer and not a slave to our old master any longer. I was reminded when thinking about this, these type of thoughts here a while back, thinking of Esau. He had a birthright, did he not? It was his. Nothing he did to gain that. It was born into it. It was his birthright. But he despised it, did he not? And he gave it away. He threw it away. Lord, help us in our generation not to be of that number that despises the birthright of your salvation. Lord, help us to fight the good fight of faith, to lay hold on eternal life, to grasp it as a treasure that it is, to wake up tomorrow morning and say, thank you, Lord, for eternal life. And today I want to preserve it within my heart. I cherish it. I own it. I lay hold on it. I don't let the devil come in and cause me in the weariness of my life, the weariness of the fight. I don't want to be of that number that lays it aside and says something's more important than this struggle. Because I want to tell you, if you lay down this struggle, you're going to find another one. And it's worse. If we wrestle, if we struggle against the devil, and we get over in his territory, then we're going to have, we look around you. Well, there's plenty of evidence. Wisdom is crying in the streets today. I think it was last Sunday I mentioned about going down 23rd Street and seeing one man. He was sick because of, I don't know, I assume some sort of drug sickness, and he was throwing up, and another man was so leaned over in a stupor that his knuckles were nearly hanging to the ground. He couldn't even stand up. And I say, that man is really wrestling. That man is really struggling. He's on a fight that's a losing battle. But I look over at you and I, and I recognize that we have our battles. I recognize that. God didn't say you didn't have to fight. He never said that. But our fight is a winning battle. That you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. And as we wrestle against the flesh, as we deny the old man, as we look toward God and ask him for grace and strength for the day, there is a victory for us to win. There is a fight for us to have, and a victory to win in that fight. That brings us to a place when we look at him in the face and say, thank you, my precious Heavenly Father. Let me sit around your table this evening. I want to walk beside those still waters. I want you to restore my soul. And we find him there. We find his leadership and his guidance, his help for us in life. That's the riches. Fight. Lay hold on that eternal life. Don't let the devil steal it. Well, I wanted to actually go over here to Ephesians, the sixth chapter. Ephesians 6. I must either get a different Bible or learn some other medium to be able to, because my Bible is tearing up. That's hard. Ephesians 6, and I know we were part of this, I think, last Sunday even. But I want to think about spiritual warfare. Over in Ephesians 6 and 12 also here, again, it brings our mind and focuses our attention on where the battleground really is. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So many times it's easy for us to think of the people and the things and all. And if it wasn't for that, maybe my cantankerous neighbor or my brother that's sitting in the chapel with me, it gets real close. It can get down to my wife. The devil will use every excuse that he can to bring me to a place that I think if it wasn't for them, I'd be so much more encouraged. They just rub me wrong. And they may do that. But did you know we have control over what rubs us? And which way it rubs us? It's part of the fight. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. That's not the issue, whether they rub us or not. The issue is in my mind. What am I letting it do to me? If I allow these things to build up and begin to, one stone upon another in my life, begin to, I don't like that, and I'll take that little stone of offense or whatever, and I'll put that in my pocket over here, and then again that person said this too, and I remember that, and I take that stone and put it in this pocket. Pretty soon I've got a weight that I'm carrying around. And it's all in my mind. And next time I'm almost expecting somebody to do something offensive to me. Be careful, dear ones. We're not wrestling against people. We're wrestling against a space in our mind that the devil wants to own, and so does the Lord. And God wants to own, the Prince of Peace wants to dwell there, wants to own and occupy this battleground in my mind where the devil would come in and try to bring all his weights that do so easily beset us, that would try to bring us to a place that we feel stymied in life. I'm not able to get the victories that I want to. I don't have a ringing testimony come Wednesday night. I don't have victory in my soul. I'm struggling. I'm starting to think maybe it's not even important anymore. But I want to tell you, I want to encourage you today to renew the fight. Don't let the devil bring you to a place of discouragement, because that's exactly what he wants to do. He wants to own that place in your mind where you say maybe it's not worth it anymore. Don't do it. You know, besetting sins was one of the things I just kind of alluded to a while ago. There's something that we as humans sometimes have places of vulnerability in our life, and the devil knows those. The devil would like to exploit every one of those places of vulnerability. When we struggle against, you know, addicts, there's things that they need to stay away from, areas they need to quit. Maybe they wouldn't want to drive down 23rd Street down there where they were selling all those drugs. Maybe they wouldn't even want to go there. I don't have a problem with it, because that has absolutely no pull to me. Thank God for his salvation. That doesn't have anything. But I have my areas I don't want to go. I do. And the devil would like to make us think it's not that important anymore. You know why? Because he wants to put on his camouflage and hang around in this besetting area in our life. Y'all ever went turkey hunting? You know what that is? There are different types of hunting. But you know, if you're going to get a turkey, you're going to have to learn how to make him think that you're talking his language. You have this little the little squawk box that make him think that there is a hen out there saying, come over here. You see what I'm saying? And you know what else you got to do? You got to have on camouflage. You may carry the gun. You may be hunting his life. But you're not going to get it unless you have camouflage on. You may want your face kind of, the outline of your face, want it broken up with some face paint and something covering, because you don't want him to see. You want him to get close enough that you can take his life. The devil does the same. He knows. And he'll squawk he'll talk your language. And he'll say, if you'll just come two more steps, I'll let this shotgun go. I'm just telling you what the devil's thinking. He's for your life. He has no mercy. He puts on all his regalia and he'll speak just as sweetly as he knows how to. You know, in mythology, remember Ulysses, the traveler on the ship, and they went by the island of the Sirens. You remember that? Y'all remember that? Some of you might, some of you don't. Remember the Sirens? It was such a sweet tone that if a man would hear that, he would be drawn in and wreck upon the rocks near the island of the Sirens. And he wanted to hear that so badly. He put wax in all the ears of his soldiers. And they said, if you'll tie me to the mast. And they bound him to the mast. And he got close enough to hear the siren call. I want to tell you, dear ones, there's not a trick strong enough up your sleeve to be able to outmaster what the devil has in store. My advice to us is to fight the good fight of faith and to lay hold on eternal life. My advice to us is to not go near it. Turn away from it. Pass not by it. Don't let the devil have that territory in your heart. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. But against principalities, against powers. And right now, perhaps we might think that they're talking about these people up in high places. But the highest place that the devil wants to have in your heart is this place of acceptance in your mind. Cast that one down. Recognize his camouflage. Recognize his purpose. And say, I will part with thee, O Master. This is my firm resolve. I've got a lot more scriptures, but I have come to the belief that I've said all I need to say this morning. And that I think if I followed out all those scriptures, I would take away from what the Lord has already given us. But oh, I want to leave us with this, hopefully an impactful to our own soul, this idea, God help us to fight the good fight.